Perek Zayin.
It's amazing. You told me how wonderful the shiur was and how much you got out of it, and it doesn't come. Okay.
You should know something, Rav. I was not going to come to a Nefesh Chaim shiur today. The last one back a bit. I'm up there.
No, you got to come.
You
got to come.
Hashem, my name. You got no idea. It changed my whole name.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. That's incredible stuff.
Perek Zayin, right? What stuff is it? Sorry.
Pei Zayin. Perek Zayin. Pei Zayin. And we're in Tafshin Samach Zayin. So there must be something significant about all of that.
You should read Yishei right?
Yo, okay.
Yeah.
Yahadut Makorit. What is the? Let's get down to Yiddish Katzal source. But the Tana Lechadad is Hadvarim Sheichtavu Perek Zeh. In order to get, whose is this now?
Mine.
Okay, so it's for you and you only, huh?
I didn't choose this. I don't even need it because I was, yeah.
No, I'm just saying it's not for public.
Okay, I'll make sure.
613.org.
Only England. No, I don't mind if you want to go public with him. This is going to be a different kind of shiur. I'm not going to say.
I just need to hear shiur.
You can hear it as many times as you want. I don't mind. I just hope it's not for anybody else. B'sipur min ha'chaim b'doren. If you want to give it to somebody else, ask me before. Because otherwise, I feel inhibited, and I always get to say what I want to say. I even sometimes get to say what I want to say, but then we switch the tapes off. But I don't always remember to switch the tapes off. So. Okay, I want to bring you a story, he says, from something in this generation. Bachas Yeshivot HaKadoshot, ba'America, Lamad B'chu Choshuv. Where did Kamai say this? Those of you, for the first time. In one of the holy yeshivas in America, that's an island north of London, Lamad B'chu Choshuv, a very Choshuv B'chu was learning. Muflag b'toyru v'yiru shemayim she'omad l'seis isha b'sha'toyru mutzlochos. And he was one of the choice bochrim, and he was about to marry a wonderful Bas Yisrael b'sha'toyru mutzlochos. Peter Kamiyamim, his name is Soiv Hunikra shel yedei hoirov she'gilu lo esod chayov. His parents called him in and told him the secret of his life. Imoi habiologit Hayis a goya, his biological mother was a goya. V'hein bi'oisam chashoy chibonim imotsoy oisa keyeled. They adopted him. His Jewish parents, his non-biological parents, adopted him. V'fiyah nidra shofiyah alocha v'yigyu l'gil hamitzvahs hayu alhoyrov l'yeido isav kach. The loch is there to tell him. You're supposed to tell him at the mitzvah. Why is he so mad? It's before Habreira Lachlit. Then he gets to choose. Aim who makabel is Giroiso or love. If he wants to take the Giroiso or not. If he wants to be Jewish or not. Mishumal Hirev Hadifo Ilaali Meyedeze Mimenu Adifnein Yoiso. For some reason, the parents decided that it would be better not to tell him anything and let him know just before the wedding. Kach noide lo ki biyode habreinu lachlit haim yekabel es gerusa v'ye yudi ulechalufim yimon begeruzu. He has a choice, erev the chuppah, to decide whether he wants to be a Jew and accept upon himself the mitzvahs, or whether he wants to deny this gerus. We're talking about a yeshiva bocher here. A good yeshiva bocher. We're talking about somebody who's Isaac until he's about to get married. We're not talking about some guy who, he becomes stashatot and 3 weeks later discovers he's not Jewish, so now he's got a decision what to do. Some of the guys poshut lived his whole life as a frum Jew. And we're talking about a muflat b'toyru v'yiru shamayim. We're trying to get clear who this guy is before we carry on with the ma'aser. He's an FFB, yeah? Yeah, let's see his problem.
I don't know, lately I just keep hearing from a lot of people, this, the guys in FB, and I just think it doesn't make any difference. If either of them, I think that's a bit...
That's what we just said.
Yeah.
We said, he was an FB, that's why we can understand the mice a lot easier. Okay, let's see. Yeah, we have a danger that we're FFBs. Our problem, our danger is that we'll become FFBs.
That's
FFRs.
If not us, our children will surely be.
Okay, let's go back. Who adif lo is goy nechmad v'toyu v'mekayim shev mitzvah benenach. So what did the child decide to do? To ma'aser shoyu. He decided to become a good benach. Kachu yekayimus rotzon ha'elokim b'shleimus u'bekalut. He can now do whatever Hashem wants easily, nicely. He's a shevet mitzvah b'nai noach. Go ahead. That's what he decided to do.
It's a true story.
It's ma'ase shoya. Ma'ase shoya. Ma'ase shoya. Ma'ase that was actual ma'ase. Rutabah knew the people. Ma loy lichyes kiyudi ulishtabed the tarag amitzas Hashem beginam hu olu lekabel einchim kashu memarim. What does he have to go and live a life of tarag mitzvahs where he have to deal with all the possibilities of being mikshal and not inshim and everything? Let him be a nach tzaddik. Well, if you could choose to be nach tzaddik or to be a yid rasha, what would you choose? Be careful.
Because it's not so obvious for someone to be a tzaddik anyway if they decided to be a goy. Who says he's going to be a tzaddik? Like,
good, but you know what? To be a chosid, good, but to be a chosid with Shimon Zevenoich is a pile easier.
He's got it much easier.
It's a pile easier. Most of your Yetzirah get taken care of if you get rid of Tag Mitzvah and take on Shimon Zevenoich. Let's not play games. It's a heck of a lot easier. We're not talking about better or worse, we're talking about easier and not question. Okay, let's go right a little bit.
But even without talking about a relationship with Hashem, it isn't a good move anyway. Because as a Jew without any mitzvahs, you still have a better olam haba than a koi keeping all the mitzvahs we're learning off.
Not so posh. The risks are much greater.
But even if you mess up,
that's what we're going to see. But if that's a poshut, that we know that's a poshut. Let's see.
It's not.
Well, that's what I want to try and find out. Let's go.
So we've just been speaking all about
in a chinami.
I guess it's the whole book's been there.
Good. Well, the first in the introduction. Now we're getting into the book. Now the book starts. Now you're right. I hear what you say, but I'm saying it's not poshut. Okay. Not poshut. If you're going to the street, you know, ask the average frum guy, okay, what would you rather be? Nach tzaddik, okay, or one of these chilonim running around Tel Aviv? What would you rather be? 99.9% of them would say it's better to be a nach tzaddik. And when you point out to them how wrong they are, they'll suddenly go, "What? Okay, you're right." But that's not our default thing.
Yeah, that's not our. It's not when you be a nach tzaddik or a chiloni in Tel Aviv. It's just whether you be a nach tzaddik or like a Jew who's keeping Torah mitzvahs, but.
No, well,
that's good. Yeah, no, I'm just trying to make it extreme. Yeah, right. You're right.
But for sure, if you say like that, then it's better to be a Jew. I mean, like,
I've heard it. You're going to be a Rav Shach or a Shivan. He says, good, but the risks, once again. I went to see a guy when I was in South Africa now. So, what does he do for a living? They call it micro lending. It's basically loan sharking, yeah?
They
make a lot of money. These guys make a bum of money.
The amount of loan
sharking. It's called micro. Because you don't want to call yourself a loan shark. It's called micro lending. 30%. They charge 30%. The going rate in South Africa today.
30%.
A week. Yeah.
I think whatever. I don't know. Month. Whatever. It's a bomb. So I said to the guy, how do you get the money back? Like, what do you say? So he said, it's high risk, high returns. It's the same. Yeah. Tarek mitzvahs is high risk, but the returns are high, but the risks are big. Shevet mitzvahs b'nai noach. It's a much safer investment, but the returns are not so great.
How's it in Arabis?
Oh.
He was very quick to tell me. He was very quick to tell me after the second whiskey at 10 o'clock in the morning that I had to have with him that Rabbi, it's the first time we're meeting, we got a whiskey to get a bottle of Gold Label. So it's a whiskey. You know, 20 bottles of Gold Label or whatever, his office or whatever. Crazy guys, these two young guys. So he says to me, but you have to know, he says, a Jew comes to borrow money, yeah, he says on the house, not charge. Jews don't pay interest, yeah.
He's a goy?
And the rabbis? No, he's Jewish.
He lends to goy. He's got a mega from that.
And the rabbis lining up in that place the whole day. I mean, it's like.
Well, that's how they got all the whiskey.
That's what <they're doing. laughs> A very good friend of his, who's an old Talmud of mine, sent me in to see the guy, whatever. So he was telling me stories about this buddy of his, who's today a frum guy. He's not frum, but his buddy's frum today. So, yeah. So make a l'chaim on this new friendship, you see. So,
the Markerland in
why is it called?
I don't know why they call it Markerland. I don't know. It's a nice way of calling it.
Macro, no?
No,
okay.
It's Markerland, which is normally for a small amount of
small amounts of money at small time.
A small time. It's not like you take out a 20-year loan. It's like you need
I see.
Cash quick and you got no friends.
We have a lady thing.
So you get one from a shark? I mean a microlender.
Hiram Vakachlan
the Dino she chosid umas hoyla vakach the McGinnis Laiv Hirov with Myrov Ozivasako.
What's Hiram? His
parents. Vahachov Lagoy Minaminim, he became a goy. Uv the zu aire beshaisa zazur omuk bekorvatibu. This mice aroused an enormous trembling, an enormous uproar. Deep uproar in the community.
What did he say about his parents? Saying the chachla megina slave hoyrov
to the
oh, the happiness
distraught. Oh. The megina slave. The what's the word? Constricted heart. I don't know what it is. Want to translate? Keshamati alu ruazu. When I heard about the story, matzati es atzmi mahareya ma'afech bedava harbe. I was thinking and back and forth with this a lot. This is a shocking piece of news, as you have to understand. I don't know if it's hit you yet, but it's a shocking story. This. Mm. The only way you really realize how shocking it is, put yourself in the same position. Take your next Musa Seder. It's a wonderful use of time, and put yourself in the position. Put yourself in the position. So what would I do now, Lamaisa? What would you do now if you found you were going? What would you do?
Now, as I am now.
What would I do? That's what he was. He was already from. He was about to get the best shidduch. He was the best boch in the yeshiva. And you suddenly find out you're not Jewish. You're not chayv any of this stuff.
I think I'd still keep Shabbos.
Well, then you
it's not supposed
to. I think the Chofetz Chaim said that once. Said the Chofetz Chaim, what would you do? I think my brother says, what would you do if you found out that there was no such thing as God? He's like, I think I still keep Shabbos.
It's not so posh.
But I mean, really, this is a question to ask on every koi, except they haven't experienced life as a Jew. They haven't, like, learned the Ashkafa. But really, it is a question on any human being.
It's a question on me. Since this is a Musavad, the question is a question for me. It's not for anybody else, because otherwise it just becomes a theoretical mass discussion. This is a question. This is a question that you have to take into Musa Seder. You have to pose it.
Is it so much more difficult to
answer? You know what? It's not even the answer that's so important. You know the story of Talbot. The Talbot tells a story. He was sitting with a Pincus once. Zatzal. They used to do seminars in America together. So he was sitting with him on Shabbos, and the Pincus turns around to him and says to him, "He says, Rabbi Zriel, what will you do if you suddenly discovered you weren't Jewish?" So without even flinching, he turned around and said, "I'll convert on the spot. I'll be a goy for 1 second. I'll just be a goy." "You're nuts. Who wants to be a goy?" On the spot. So the Pinker said to him, he said, "I would also convert. But before I convert, I would do one mitzvah that a yid can't do that a goy can. And that is bring a korban today. Jews not allowed to bring a korban today, but a goy can bring a korban today. A goy is mutar b'bama. A goy can bring a temporary mizbeach wherever he is. He can bring a korban."
Does that ever happen? Have we ever seen that?
I don't know if a goy's done it. Whatever. Well, they do. I mean, I don't know if they bring it to Hashem. You go to India, Nepal, and these places, they bring korbanos all the time.
No. I mean to Hashem, like a Noahite.
Hashem,
the Noahites, like is it part of their like?
I don't think so. Michael Katz's community in wherever it is in America, I don't think they bring korbanos. Interesting question. I'm asking why not? Why didn't he teach him to bring korbanos? Could be because we don't know how to do it properly today. But anyway, you've got to be Rav Pincus learning in Brisk and learning Kochim for so many years to know how you've got to know how to bring a korban. It's not so
much.
Real Brisk. Slonim of Brisk. He's Rav Zelig's first cousin.
Slonim of Brisk. It's a weird clink.
It's not a weird. It's not a weird. Not because
a lot of them are.
The Slonimers of Hasidim who are the most sharp, analytical, they're into learning. Slonim of Hasidim are big in learning. Big in learning. Rav Zelig is Rav Shimshon's first cousin. Anyway, like this. So Rav Pincus turned around to him and said, "Before I convert, I'll bring a korban. Bring a korban." So Israel said to him, he said, "You can bring all the korbanos in the world. I still wouldn't want to be a goy for 1 second. I'd convert on the spot."
What an argument.
So what's the difference? So we asked him, we said, what's the difference between you and Rav Shimshon? Rav Shimshon doesn't appreciate what a Yid is either. So he said, I grew up in Hungary during the war. He said, I had to eat chazer and machal Shabbos and pretend to be a goy just to stay alive. He said, so I appreciate what it is to be a Yid. I was being hunted and tormented and killed because I was Jewish. He said, Rav Shimshon grew up in Brisk, where they learn kotchim and whatever, they understand the chashivas of what a korban is and da 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 da. So you want to be a korban quickly. He says, but me, to be a goy for 1 second? Different life, different the way you grew up, different upbringings or whatever. But if you would stop and ask yourself this question, it's not such a possibility. If you're honest with yourself, I don't really know what the answer is. I don't even think the answer is important. Just the struggle that you would have in trying to answer it would be very revealing. Teach you a lot about yourself.
Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see a struggle.
You don't see a struggle, eh?
No.
If you discovered today you were a guy, you would have no problem converting on the spot.
Upsell, of course.
But you would convert on the spot.
Yeah.
Shreika.
Somebody
knows what he's looking for.
But said about what? The wasted opportunity over the last 3 years.
No.
He gets furshah for those
mitzvahs.
Goy does mitzvahs, gets reward. The Rambam's a furshah Rambam. Goy puts on tefillin, he gets schar for tefillin. Schar when I am mitzvah, not if a mitzvah be the same schar as a woman would get.
Yeah.
Except Shabbos, you're in a bit of trouble. Okay, no, weiter. This is for Musa Sayyid, not for me. שונים אלו לא עמדו לו לבחו בטיים של שמירת השבת. I don't know what he's saying, hold on a second. Okay. שלמרות, despite שהתחנך חינוך תורני, despite the fact that he had a Torah חינוך, מעולה, he had a wonderful Torah חינוך, these years lo amdu lo libcho b'taima shloshmiras haShabbos v'nichoyach haChagim haYudim v'ayneg limud haTorah. None of the pleasure, none of the joy, none of the vibrancy, none of the the life force of Yiddishkeit, the harigish and the chushes all vaishen, hatumanim b'yadut. He never tasted the beauty of Yiddishkeit. Vada sheim hu haya toim zois lo haya musugal lafrid mikol ha'oyt zois alunu b'kol mechir. Had he tasted the beauty of Yiddishkeit, there's no way he could have given it up and just left it for nothing. Yahadusoy hait nahala at kol rak mitoich machshove. His whole Yahadut was governed from the thought kizuhu merushosi aruchnius. Merushosoy aruchnius. Ulachain lachish gila ki Yahaduso enu Yerusha. Loi me avasov. Azver the nacho. Why is he keeping all the mitzvahs? Why was he doing it? Before he found out there was a goy, why was he doing all the Torah mitzvahs? Because that's his inheritance. You were born a Jewish, your mother was Jewish, you're Jewish, you got a job at work, did you get on with a job? I'm an honest guy. They tell me this is my job, you got to do this, I do it, I'm not a rebel, I'm a good guy. You suddenly discover it's not your job. It's not my job, so what am I doing it for? Guy's carrying a load of bricks right up a mountain. Yeah, carrying this big load. Somebody's come and calls him and says, hold on a second, why are you doing this? That's not your job, you're supposed to be down there driving the truck. So what do you think he's going to say? No, I want to carry the bricks. He puts the bricks down, he goes downstairs to the truck. If your whole connection to Yiddishkeit is, hey, listen, what can you do? You were Jewish, sad quirk of fate, you happen to be Jewish. You gotta keep the mitzvahs. You gotta go to daven in the morning, you gotta go to afternoon, you gotta, as I spoke about it this morning, these guys are still doing a shachris, he's doing a 25-minute shachris, yeah? He has been for 40 years, he never poshut, never had a spiritual moment in his life in davening, yeah? I davened on these minions in South Africa recently now as well. Pele, the halachos are not being kept. Nothing. Mm-hmm. The guy comes, you got it done. You got maybe he does one or two business deals and during Aleinu, and then off he goes. Good day already. Wow, what's he doing?
Even a guy who's really good at lifting the rocks up the mountain.
It doesn't matter. Even if it's great, you suddenly discover it's not your job to bring the rocks up the mountain. You can drive a truck. You dump the rocks like you run to the truck. But if you're Yiddishkeit, you see the beauty, you see the relationship, you understand, you have a kesher ishia, you have a person. So then it's a different parsha completely. וכך המשכתי לחשוב. And then I carried on and thought. אנחנו אמנם קיבלנו בזאת השם את יהדותנו ומורשה מאבותינו. We received the Torah as an inheritance from our fathers. אך האם ירושנו היא מקורית? Is our Torah, is our relationship with Hashem, is it really something that's deep within me, or is it mitzvah anoshim ulumad bilvad? Is it people just doing it because that's what you got to do? Rak machmas kikach kibalnu oisim avoisav v'rnaisav v'rnaisayinu. Is that why we do it? Because that's what our father said. I have a friend. He told me he's never missed a minyan in his life. Never missed a minion. Mm-hmm. Never missed a minion. If it's bigger, never missed a minion. Yeah, how many people in this room that don't answer? Never missed a minion in his life. Got it? That's 35, 36 years old, whatever, 40 years old. Never missed a minion.
I have a friend who's never had missed a minion like in 4 years. That's pretty good.
4 years? I'm talking about 35, 40 years. Yeah, every kid never missed a minion, eh? Never understood until one day we happened to be together. We had to go to the Maariv together. So I saw what his Maariv looked like. If that's what Maariv is, I could also never miss him. It's mitzvah anoshim ulumada. His father told him he's going to daven Maariv. He's a good boy. He wants to do the right thing. So he went in there and he went blah, 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 and then he left. 10 minutes, Maariv was done and he was gone. But he davened with a minion. I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying there's mitzvah anoshim ulumada, and then there's a person who goes to Maariv because he has an opportunity to mamash do whatever he's supposed to be doing with Maariv.
Mitzvah
anoshim ulumada. Out of habit. You got taught to do it, so you do it.
Better than not doing it.
Look at a dolphin. Why does a dolphin jump up and smack the ball with his nose? Because that's what he's been trained to do. It's not because he has any sort of real, enormous geschmack in a law. He gets a fish afterwards. Rak machmas ki kach ki bal nois masem masem. Hayim anu choshim be MS. Do we really feel? Do you really feel the joy, the beauty of what it means, the love of what it means to be Jewish? Do we really feel the simcha, the joy, and the beauty of our learning and mitzvahs? I'll call you the latzor es merutzas achaim. Every Jew has to put his brakes on, stop the rushing of his life, and ask himself the following question. Yes, for Sunday's Musa Seder. Tomorrow's Musa Seder, you're going to be dealing with what would you do if you found out you were a goy. Shabbos, you shouldn't learn Musa. Sunday, Toma Devora. Learn Toma Devora on Shabbos. Shows you what God decided is. No, that, I don't know if you should. Some of you can learn Musa on Shabbos. The Altar of Kelm told his Tommy not to learn Musa on Shabbos because it makes you sad before it makes you besimcha. It's also to be said on Shabbos. So he's doing Toma Devora with them on Shabbos.
Why, what's that?
So you can relate to that sad story of a happy ending?
For us, it's a cool date.
Yeah, but what's it? It's not Musa?
Can't decide them. The person has to stop and he has to think and he has to ask himself, Im hanagosai umaisi yaudim nasi mitoich bechira. Is a person even out of choice? Vahakara, and with an alertness, with recognition. Olufamim halachatz hasvivosi, the pressure of the environment. Hu hagoyram hamachria vahamania hamirkazi lamaisi. That's the engine room of my actions.
Well, this is frightening.
Im yudi margish, you're right.
This is frightening.
Im yudi margish. Kichalakim gedolim biyadusa enim mekariyim They're not original. They're not flowing out of his unique relationship. I see. It's a sign. Kilo hasig v'lo hachir leliboy. Esa oishat sofen ba'achad ba'ata b'chatanim kol amim v'yoseinu am segula. It's a sign that there's lacking in the person's in the recess of his heart, the wealth of what it means. Ata b'chatanim kol amim. He's not the original vibrant Baal Bechira. He's not making choices.
You sometimes feel a bit restricted that you don't have so much Bechira to make these choices. A person does ultimately, but it can seem that within the getters of what he's doing, he has to go with the Sviva and he has to go with certain things. You have to be really brave to sort of step forward and take your own time with things and say, I'm not going to do it because I'm going with the Sviva and stuff like that. It's not so passionate to you.
If it was passionate, you wouldn't need a whole safe and you wouldn't need to turn the whole door upside down and create a major revolution in Yiddishkeit today. Of course not. It's not passionate.
I just don't think the habitual guy does it because he's been taught to do it, and the guy which, it's like a bit of a naive person, but the guy that does it habitually, the guy that does it because he wants to do it every day. He wants to do it every day, and the guy that does it because he's told he has to do it every day. They're both insured, they're both doubling.
How can you compare? The guy that's doing it, that's doing it because he wants to do it because he's making a bechira, he's an adult, he's allowed. The other guy's a baby. The other guy's a 3-year-old.
But he still has a connection, more than the guy
that has no connection whatsoever.
Just sits there and
he's going to get reward for his mitzvahs. I'm not talking about Tzchav or Elisha. But he's the guy, when you tell him, when he suddenly discovers he's not Jewish, he's the guy that doesn't Magaya. He's the guy that says, oh, okay, well, I'm out of here. I come here because you've got to be a good boy. You've got to do the right thing. He's a 3-year-old. What is a 3-year-old? He wants to do the right thing. He wants daddy to be happy with him, right? So he comes to Shul. Why? Because then daddy gives him a sweet. So now he's a little bit of an older baby. So Hashem's going to give him his reward, whatever. He's going. Yeah, but you tell me I don't have to daven because I'm a goy. I suddenly discovered I don't have to daven. I can go to the game on Shabbos. What am I going to be Jewish for? But if a person, it's from him and it's from his bechira and he's doing it because it's right and he has a relationship and it means something to him and it's delicious and he has a simcha from it, he's not going to keep it up so easy just because he's potter. He's not doing it because he's chayev. He's doing it because it's coming. It's an original action. It's his own creative moment. You don't give that up so easily.
Is it not simpler than Bechira? More that just this is about relationship and not performance.
How do you have a relationship without Bechira?
Therefore, if I the whole reason that I would not Magaya is because I'm lacking in performance. That therefore, if I was to stay as a geir, then my lack of performance would matter.
Good, but how do you give up a relationship like that? Let me give you another model. Let me give you a model.
If that's true, then there is no. Relationship in the first place, then
the relationship is not full on performance.
Exactly.
So
why? So all you need to do is understand the way that we're in it, relationship, and not performance. Therefore, even if I do mess up, I'm still gonna stay.
Alright, you're giving this guy of an eighth of how he could have stayed Jewish. That's from a society. Each one's got to work it out himself. Yeah. Okay, tell me the theory of what we're discussing at the moment. Guy's happily married to his wife, right? And he suddenly discovers that whatever the condition wasn't kosher, whatever. So he says, "Oh wow, sure, I'm
crazy.
That's crazy, you're right." But it shows you that there was something lacking in the relationship to start with. Why was he married to her? Because he had to be married to her. It was the right thing to do. He was married to her. There's no relationship at all. But whatever. Cindy discovers all that she's with this really not my wife. Oh well, I'm out of here. Goodbye.
That's the second. That's part of a second relationship. I mean, like, you know, they're in it because there's something in it at the beginning. When they can get out, they get out.
I keep telling you guys, stop looking at everybody else. Look at yourselves. That's our relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu. That's our relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to look outside. Stay in the room. Stay in your own Daladamas in this class. Don't point fingers at other people. You're right. Use it as a marshal. But if you look carefully, that's our relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu all the time.
I remember, like, as I was becoming from someone told me about a story that they were in yeshiva and one of their friends or someone found out they were Jewish and on the spot they were guided. And like I sort of like had that in my mind as the paradigm for what happens. It's now being presented over here as if like this is like almost the expected thing that would happen to most people. Most people would not have the relationship and most people would realize it's a big problem. So like even in just looking at this story on its own and saying we must look into our souls and whatever, like we are only given this single side of the story. So when I now think of this, like I'm just really thinking, like the only information I know is there's this guy who was in yeshiva and he was doing very well and he decided that he, it's not such an, like it's not a fair reflection.
The story and the other stories are not going to help me. I've got to get in touch with what would I do. What would I do? Simple question. Pose the question and let it sit for a while. If you have an answer, good, then you know what you would do. Fine, so this is not your problem. And go weiter. Most Baal Teshuvahs, by the way, it's a lot easier. Because most Baal Teshuvahs have made this decision already.
And still I heard of this now in this sefer, to me it was a davar pashut, that anybody who is learning in
Forget about anybody. What about you?
So, I did, like... there weren't red lights going off in my head.
And now they are?
Like, different from the clown. No. So I still think that, like, I still can't really identify with this.
And okay, good. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Ashreicha. Okay.
Perhaps it's from a Baal Teshuvah perspective that, in a way, we have a really grappled with this type of.
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say that, and what I want to say for is that, so people have been religious all their lives. It's just as much as a problem for them, this whole scenario of having to. The chances are that it could be that from being religious all their lives, they would have been had a bit more time for exposure and hopefully be sensitized to these things. And
or less! From them or less! I don't know, but on the other hand, he never made any choices!
Right, that's what I'm saying. I was going to say, he has the problem, he's the one that's got the problem with the Bechira. Because he was born into it from the beginning and he's doing, and he's the one that's more likely at the end of it to come out like this guy and turn around and say, well, hold on, you know what? He's not going to have the relationship.
So we're saying the bad people are stronger than the FFB world. It comes down to it because they've made the decision stronger.
I don't have statistics on who's stronger or not, but you can understand the concept that the Baal Teshuvah is always going to be more inspired and more choice orientated than and more mature about his Yiddishkeit than the FFB, of course. Let's see. You know, why don't we just have a look at the next piece of Rabbeinu Godel Bala Shlo Kodesh, the Sora Maimoris is my favorite piece of Torah. This Hamay Marishon Menasech Shaila Zu Kedahala. Look how somebody who has the name Kodesh written off his name is Magdia the Sugya. Wuzu Ramaz Aposuk Zekeli Vanveu Elokei Ovi Varomeinahu. I spoke to use this, that's what I spoke about at Alon's Chasana. Reitzeloima Keshezekeli. First of all, the question is like this: why does it say Zeh Keli Van Veyu Ela Kei Aviv? It should first be Kel Aviv and then Keli, right? The order's wrong. That's question number one. You just have it's got to my father, then it's my God, right? How did he become your God? Because you got it from your father, right? And the second question is: what's the difference between Anveyu and Aroi Memenehu? If it's my God, then it's Anveyu, and if it's my God and my father, then it's a different relationship. What's going on here? Says the Shlok Kodesh, right to Lema, because she's a Kaili, she who Kaili mitzad hasogosi viyidosi. It's my God because it's via my efforts and my knowledge. As van vayhu. Then it's van vayhu miloshen ani vahu. What does anvayhu mean? Ani vahu. Right to Lema. Ani vahu dvukim beyacha. Him and me, we join together. Kaviyachal. Because this knowledge of this my God is taken hold of in my heart. However, when I don't have this via my own apprehension, You know what this is going to be, because my father, I used to work with the FAB droppers. I used to say to them, how do you know there's a God? Because my father told me. Oh, now I know why you're a dropout. Because look at the word, v'aroi memenahu. What does it mean? Ki hu ram v'niskov mimeni. V'ani merochuk mi'itoi v'metzofon alayv. Zekeli, if it's Zekeli, it's my God. I own him, I choose him, I'm part, I have this relationship with him. Then it's anvehu, then it's anivuhu bedveikas. But if it's kalavi, the only reason I know that there's a God because I have this Masori, my daddy told me there's a God. But for me, it's, that doesn't touch me, it's an external piece of information. Then it's roim mimenu, it's far, far away from you. Rochok mimenu, far away from you.
But as long as he teaches it to you, as long as he teaches you, then you are to come to the conclusion yourself.
Okay.
I mean, he teaches you anyway. I mean, you say you're smart, man. I mean, like, but that's him teaching you there is a God.
There's a chiyuv to that. We're not discussing whether he taught you, didn't taught you. No, but what your relationship with God? Leave your father out of this one. Stop blaming your father.
No.
What's your relationship with God? Is your relationship with a God a personal relationship that you've invested in and developed and built, and you own that relationship? Or is it a relationship that you don't put any energy into, you don't put any effort into? It's just because your father machanach you, because you have a chiv to machanach your children, because that's the right way to go. We're not going into why you have to machanach them now. But you didn't take any of your own energy and your own effort and build your own personal relationship with him. So then it's kalaviv. Then all it will ever be is I have this God, because my daddy told me about this God. What does it mean to you? Nothing. And then my dad told me about it. But I have nothing invested in that, no relationship there. But it's wrong, isn't it? Then it's far from
it. By two ways, your father telling you, and then you make.
We're not talking about your father telling you. You could come to that personal relationship because your father told you about God, and then you went to invest in it. But if you didn't make the effort and you're just relying on what your father told you, then it's kalaviv. Then it's not keli. We're not. He's not trying to get rid of the father son. Transmission of the oral Torah. We just wiped Pesach off the map.
Yes.
No, chas v'chalila. You have to give it to the child in such a way that the child takes it and builds his own relationship.
I don't understand something. How have we managed over all the thousands, 2,000 years or whatever, for people that are born into the Yiddishkeit, to get to the point where they use their own bechira enough to the fact that if this happened to them, they wouldn't leave, meaning that they still believe in Hashem separately?
Because until very recently, until the Second World War, until the Second World War, Jews had a healthy relationship with the Kosh Boch. Until the First World War, really, and our scholars started. Jews had a healthy relationship with Kosh Baruch Hu. You look into the Sephardi world, the secular Sephardi world. But they know there's a God.
Yeah.
The fear of Gehenna and Shoyri on the guy's face. Yeah, I mean, the worst of failures, whatever, but he knows there's a God. there's no messing about you.
What's keeping them? The fact they know they're Jewish? Because they know they're Jewish. Meaning, because this guy found out he wasn't Jewish and that was it, that was enough to go. But these guys, they know they're Jewish, and so that's what's keeping them?
It's a relationship.
I was in a cab with a Sephardi cab driver during Hanukkah.
Best.
And he was lower in a kippah. And I said something about, like, are you going to like Hanukkah? He thought I had given him the biggest insult in the world. Like, he could not actually fathom the way I just insulted him by even asking him if he was going to light Hanukkah candles. It was like.
Yeah, no, the other day I took my car for a service the other day, so one of the mechanics there, whatever, also, no, completely secular, he says, Rav, give me a bracha.
Really?
So I said to him, do you keep Shabbos? I said, because if you keep Shabbos, then Shabbos is the bracha, but if you don't keep Shabbos, then you got no bracha, your life's away, you're wasting your life. I'm telling you, you think I insulted his mother, I'm telling you, guy was, me not keep Shabbos? You think I. Said, I've never worked on Shabbos, never driven on Shabbos, never answered the phone on Shabbos. I don't keep Shabbos. Like, what are you talking about? Can't you see that I keep Shabbos? Like a guy sort of stramble on, you know? Oh, he was, I said, I'm sorry, okay. I said, well, if you keep Shabbos, it's about Slocha, but.
We were on a field once up north, big Sephardi, bald Sephardi, but throw a cigarette out the window the whole time, shirt down to here. we stopped at Kever Navi Chava Cook to daven Mincha. Oh, and Mincha all of a sudden pulls out a keeper and a cigarette out of the side pocket of the bus, gets off,
But,
You go up Shimon's Kiva, you see the guys exactly looking like that, and they stay there crying like babies.
Thousands go to
that guy give up his life. We see people like that.
And they go to Uman.
Well, I'm going to put a kasha. How did 7 and 8 year olds know that you give up your life rather than kiss a cross? Where did they get that from?
Yeah.
Because it was real for them. It was real.
What happened in this
what was the
No, it's good that it's happened. We walking around feeling drawn down. That side of yours, I want to just deal with it. I'm not going to kill that straight away.
Okay.
The fact that it's so bad out there today is fantastic. First, it means I can make a panasa. Because 100 years ago, no one would. I'd be a street sweeper in litter.
You would have done something with your plug.
Hopefully, yeah, but I'm just saying. So, whatever. He's a guy like me who knows nothing can even give shiru. So, I can make a panos out of this. No, but it means that a person who even has the slightest machshavas of sneers, the slightest machshavas of a bit of ruchness, a bit of transcendence, he's a god all today.
Look at the rest.
The rest will have to wait.
That's our job.
First, your job is to,
you,
is to get yourself sorted out.
We're not discussing our own selves.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
This is not a Klal shiur. This is a. I want to get into my.
This isn't Musa. This is not.
You just got to get a job for your daughter.
This is Musa. First, you got to make sure that your daughter is not all the girls. My God. First, got to be me. Not selfish, but that's the only way you can give to anybody. If your relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu is not Bo'eris, if your relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu isn't real and intact, okay?
So I should say, Baruch Hashem, there's a Tel Aviv out there?
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, there's a Tel Aviv out there. Because if there wasn't a Tel Aviv out there, I wouldn't go there, I wouldn't have an opportunity to go to the Makar of the whole of Tel Aviv.
And if there wasn't a Tel Aviv, then I'd have another Tachlis.
Good, but there isn't another Tachlis, there's this Tachlis, so get on with your job. Forget about a Tel Aviv. The fact that there's a Tel Aviv doesn't make me better or worse. It just means that whatever effort I make, whatever energies I put into Ruchnias has enormous impact. It means it's an uplifting experience. HaKosh Baruch Hu designed Tel Aviv. The way the world is at the moment is HaKosh Baruch Hu designed, yeah? It's the manufacturers, that's what he wants. What does it mean to me? Oh, I'm not getting sucked in and say, oh, things were so bad and things were much better then. And first of all, who says they were much better then? And it means today that the smallest thing you do has an enormous impact. Enormous impact. The smallest machshava of a bit of transcendence, of a bit of beauty, of a bit of something a bit more dignified and noble, okay? Just, I mean, going 100 years ago, the concept of dignity and nobility were infused in their lives. Today, a person just has a machshava. Don't speak it; they think you're nuts. Just the machshava of nobility, of dignity, is already enormous keshav of the Kosh Baruch. But that's what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is that a person has to discover within himself, and that's the responsibility. It's much easier to just cop out and say, look, I'm doing the mitzvahs, I'm putting on my tefillin, I'm shaking my lulav, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. By the way, that's not a small thing. But that's not the ikkar. It can't be the ikkar. It's not a relationship. You ever married with a husband and wife, and you don't get on. They can't stand each other, yeah? But all do they perform? She's the best cook in the world, and their house is spotless and whatever, and he makes panos and he's there and everything spits or whatever, but they can't stand each other. They're both miserable. What's better? That? You're very late, Rav Asim. But you're so late, we cancelled your shiur. Mitzas Kukulu's bottle. Your shiur's bottle bereave. And the other hand is, they love each other. They can't get enough of each other, whatever. But their house is a mess. She can't cook. She doesn't know what she's doing, whatever. He can't make a panos or whatever. But they love each other. If you can only have one of those, what would you rather have? The relationship or the performance?
Shabbos Shalom.